Well, we'll go ahead with admin, and then do we come back and reopen for another motion? Okay. All right. All right. Now we can. We are back on broadcast for the admin portion of the special meeting, and we have two items, both of which are mine. I hope to keep them brief, but I wanted to bring these up because this afternoon we have a discussion with the Senate subcommittee that is dealing with our budget, and one of our budget requests is relating to having the authority to do the in-state hazardous liquids pipeline inspection program. I've been thinking about this in lieu of the various spills that have occurred, not all of them in North Dakota, but the one underneath the Yellowstone in Montana recently, and the spill that occurred on a line not underneath Lake Sakakawea, but on a line that travels underneath Lake Sakakawea in North Dakota last year, which was that Tesoro High Plains line. And one of the characteristics of our current law, and I have copies passed out to my colleagues, this is on the powers of the commission generally under pipeline safety, one of the characteristics of the law is that there's a line on the last line on number one that such any rules that we have, they basically are exactly what the federal rules are. They can't be any more strict than interest regulations applicable to the federal regulations applicable to interstate pipelines and related facilities, which I would say is probably very appropriate 99% of the time. It does, though, restrict our ability to, if we saw a case like the Tesoro line where we would like them to pig the line more frequently, federal law requires that they pig every 5 years, and we would be basically, our hands would be tied from enforcing a more frequent inspection of that nature underneath water bodies or wherever we might deem it necessary to increase safety. Now, I'd like to believe that the companies would do that naturally anyway if they have a line that they're concerned about, but that's what we'd be reliant on. We would not have the authority to make any of those changes and enforce any of those on our own behalf and on behalf of the citizens in the state. So I wanted to throw that out. I know it's kind of late in the process, but if this is something that we feel is an important component to that type of our program that we may get the authority to manage, then we probably need to be bringing that up to policymakers now versus, you know, a year from now when we're trying to get the program going. So I just throw that out to my colleagues to get your feel. Now, I'm not suggesting that we completely strike that line that, you know, but that, you know, if we were of the mindset to change it, we'd somehow create a caveat where we would have some flexibility under certain conditions to consider rules that might be more stringent to federal regulations. So
I have thoughts.
I hoped you would, Commissioner Culk, because I know you've dealt with the safety side longer than I have. So
no, thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's a great point that you bring out that if we end up doing the intrastate hazardous liquid regulate or oversight, we may want the ability to change something. Pigs is a good example. I think I have a differing viewpoint of what we're asking for from the legislature. We have the authority now to do an intrastate liquids program. It's in law. So we're not asking for the authority. We're asking for the people. And I think that this is very good if we get the people we want. But I see this as the legislature decides the number of inspectors they're going to give us. If it ends up being the full suite, I think then we would proceed with the discussion about doing the steps to take over the program. So the question is that do we want to ask for this now, which I think might be a little premature till we have the chance to see what they end up with and then see how we get people hired and trained. I think this might bring us into an argument that we don't want to get into that would submarine a program before it even gets off the ground.
So your sense would be if we get the program, work with it, see how it is, and then not down the road.
I would say that a lot of ifs here. If the full suite of pipeline inspectors we've asked for are granted, if we get them hired and trained, And as the program, you know, we start doing our inspections, because the first basic inspections we'll do are stuff that's already blocking and tackling out there. I don't think we'll cross this bridge till probably the next legislative session. So that would be a bill that we would put in if we want it. Say, now we've had this inspection program, we're doing this. We think that the state should have some tighter areas around water bodies. But I think it'd be premature to say that now, just because the federal rules are pretty tight. If something is defined as a critical water body, there's extra, like we found in the Devil's Lake hearing, and we talked through a lot of that stuff, and it was how the rules are defined. So I think it's a great point. I just think if we went down and asked for the authority to take that out, the efforts to stop us from to getting those extra inspectors, I think we'd just get smoked.
I agree with that this is premature for maybe kind of the same reasons, but slight differentiation, so I'll point out. I think, too, if we're suggesting this change, it could have a big impact on whether we get the program or not. And frankly, I don't know that I have no evidence at this point that the federal rules that we can't enforce something more stringently then are too loose. Maybe they're all open, that the things that you're talking about, additional pigging in suspect areas and that sort of thing, that may be what the federal rules say. I don't know that much about it. I'm also wondering if number two is really the solution to it. It says if there's extra potential of damage to life or property, and that would sound kind of like what you're suggesting, but I guess I don't know enough at this point about the federal rules to where I'm quite ready to ask that sentence be dramatically changed or removed.
I thought number two might provide some additional precautions and some authority to us to use more requirements if necessary as well, but I wasn't real clear on that. My concern is that this is a dynamic, changing, growing industry, and if we're going to be managing that program and getting it up and running, that we have the tools to do it well. And the trust and the judgment. I hear what you're saying. I think it's a real straightforward kind of reality of the situation here. So I don't know that I disagree that it would pose more problems in terms of getting authority to do the program. But I don't like the situation of getting down the road, you know, 18 months and having our hands tied for doing what's right for the people of the state.
See, that's why I don't know that we'd have our hands tied, because the federal rules are pretty strict. I mean, if you dig into the federal code, Pat can probably explain more, but they're strict. It's just the question if we want to bring in more. And one of the questions that I don't know that we've ever walked through, in our siting process, if we ask for more safety requirements in siting, they're going to do them. So I think that some of the siting things we've asked for let us the not have to worry about this so much. If we're concerned in the siting of new pipelines, we can ask for extra shutoff valves. And looking at Alon, I mean, I think that's weathered the storm. When we ask for things in siting, they say, okay.
Yeah, the companies are very agreeable, and I have the greatest hope with the companies adapting quicker than the feds, because quite honestly, the feds have been really slow to adapt some new rules and regulations with this industry. I've looked at some of the things that they're looking at, and they go back many years where they're just thinking about a proposal to change. They haven't even actually got a proposal to change. They're still just thinking about proposing it. So the whole pipeline industry nationwide is growing and changing, and we're realizing how important these pipelines are with all the shale development, and how important they are to the industry and to the public. And so people have to really believe in the safety of these lines.
I should have thought too, Commissioner, on the governor's chartered up the governor's task force on pipeline safety, and they've got their best practices coming out of that. I don't know if they've released that yet, but we could take, when that comes out, the best practices, we could look at those, and if those aren't included, that could become the basis for what we're asking for. So there's more than just the PSC saying, hey, we should do this, and they would say, well, why do you pick 3 years instead of 5 years to pick? We'd have no way to say right. 3 years. But see what comes out of there, and maybe that's something that we could build upon that wouldn't just be our office.
Well, and the age of the lines, I think, is something that probably is one area where we're learning more, that maybe the older lines require picking more often, or, you know, that the 5 years is probably perfect for some of these newer lines. But when it's 50 years old, the going under a water body, maybe that warrants greater attention. And again, I think that belongs with the companies to be making those judgment calls. But when they don't, and then the regulators have to step in, and the public expects us to. I don't like the answer to the public that we can't, because we can't, you know, we don't have the authority to do this. So anyway, well, we've thrown that out, and it's still a topic that we can pursue down the road, depending on how this this discussion with the legislature evolves with the hazardous materials program.
So. I can take that as an action if you want, Commissioner, to follow up on that, so we don't just let it drop. I can follow. And I've already thought of this, that when the best practices come out, we have to do something. We should do something mm-hmm. with that, other than this is the best practices. So, okay, fine. But then the commission could then almost endorse some of that in our siting. And if we think there's something in these that isn't in federal law, that becomes the basis of asking mm-hmm. for something. And I wouldn't be against going to the emergency commission if we get the people and bring it up a year
right.
from now.
Well, and the other option we have is to, you know, if we get the program, we can ask the companies to do it more often,
sure.
and they can agree to. And I would guess that many of them would be open to that as well. So I think we do have some flexibility in that regard, and I'm comfortable with that.
And I think, because you bring up a very good point, I think but one of the first steps that I guess I'm looking for is we need a good assessment of what the federal rules are. I'm having a hard time really imagining that they are created in a way that if they have a suspicion, either because of age concerns that they have, or that it's running under significant water bodies, or that it's made of a certain metal from a certain time frame or something like that, so some reason for a suspicion, that usually the feds draw those rules in a way that gives them a lot of flexibility. And if they have the authority, which I expect they do, to then require more frequent inspections or deeper inspections, then if they have it, then we have it by this. And so I guess, first of all, I'd really like to see an assessment of what powers they have.
I will. I agree with you. One thing I will note is that there is a book put together by NARUC of all the it's a compilation of all the state initiatives that are stricter than the feds on pipeline safety, and it's probably an inch and a half thick. And North Dakota is one of just a couple states that has the restriction that the state is not allowed the flexibility to create rules that are stricter than the federal rules. So I think there's precedents in other states for having the leeway for conditions that it might be different in their states than the federal rules acknowledge to create different rules. And there's a lot of precedent for that occurring already nationwide. So, but, okay, I think I don't want to delay you from your next meeting any further, Brian, but, okay, we'll I like your idea of following up with that, with the governor's task force, and seeing, and then also just seeing how our discussion goes with the legislature and the development of this pipeline hazardous materials program. Okay, the second issue that I wanted to bring up, and I did bring you guys copies of our jurisdiction on railroads as well, because I wanted to talk a little bit about rail safety briefly. We have the rail safety inspector program included in our budget. Obviously, it's too early to say what the future of that program will be, But we do also have, just regardless of whether that program is funded for the inspectors, we do have under 49-10.103, number 3 here on the first page, the third section, you know, authority that where it says we shall regulate railroads in all matters affecting the relations between railroads and the public to the end that this chapter may be fully and completely carried out. And then under 49-10.1-14, page 3 of this this handout, the commission may adopt and enforce safety rules. So I point this out to say that, you know, in the code there is jurisdiction for us on safety, some sort of responsibility. What I want to propose is that we collaborate with DOT. They are updating the state rail plan, and they and I've talked to Grant Levi, and he's amenable to including a rail safety component of that plan. And they're working with Upper Great Plains Transportation Institute to develop this plan. It'll be like a 20-year plan, and I would like to propose that the PSC join forces with them and collaborate on the rail safety component of that plan. It would not require any money. It just would require our participation, and I would participate on behalf of the commission in some public meetings and whatever else is required in the creation of that plan, and just to provide an overall review and of rail safety as it applies to state rail system in general in North Dakota, and some public input and just kind of general involvement on the development of that plan. But before I committed the PSC to that, I wanted to have my colleagues' endorsement, so I'm bringing that up here. I don't. Hopefully, I'll get Commissioner Kalk to weigh in as well.
Well, my initial thought is, I guess I'll precede it with a question. Are you just looking for kind of a general approval from the commission as a whole for you to be part of that, or how far then are we authorizing you to go down the road of changing policies or forcing the railroads to do certain safety requirements?
I don't envision that we wouldn't really have the authority to do that. So I don't think that that would be something that you'd need to be concerned about. I think it would be more of an overview, a review. Where are we seeing, you know, the greatest risks? Where can we have improvements with crossings and other areas where the railroads can collaborate, and it would be a collaborative process. The railroads would be part of it. They'd be a key part of it because, quite honestly, they do a lot of their own planning.
You know, I think it's a great idea, and I like the idea of you working on it. The one thing that always keeps me concerned, not about you being a part of this, but about rail safety issues in general, you know, there's just plain different kinds of rail safety issues, you know, and I think always there needs to be a bit of a balancing act. When we talk about rail safety issues, you know, there will be communities that want quiet rail, and then the safety issues involved with that, and they become enormously expensive because of the requirements in order to have a quiet rail section or whatever the real legal terminology is for those. There are also, you know, rural crossing issues and private crossing issues, and, you know, our history with the rail business is so long in North Dakota and so complex, but for many years, until just the last few years, the railroads have been working harder on trying to abandon lines than trying to fix or create new ones. Mm-hmm. And North Dakota has gone to great lengths to prevent abandonment in order to keep some service. And so sometimes I worry, you know, if a a community, for example, in an area where really the railroad would prefer to abandon the whole thing anyway, and they adopt a quiet rail zone and it adds a whole bunch of costs, that's just the perfect excuse, perhaps, that the railroad needs to abandon the whole line completely. And so we need to be cautious when we do these things and weigh the importance and value of it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, with that being said, I do think that it would be good to be working with DOT on these issues, and I think you'd be the perfect person to be doing it.
Okay, thank you, Randy. One point you made that I think is really key, and I forgot to mention that DOT also emphasizes in all of their work that the locals have a huge say in most of these matters. The only jurisdiction DOT has in terms of like the crossing issue is on state roads. So any other like county or local road, it's the locals who decide how those crossings are handled. And they might have some grant money they can get from the state to make some safety investments, but a lot of that money is expected to be pulled from other state sources back to the counties for use in the rails in their road systems. So the locals will be involved in this state rail plan and the state rail safety component of it as well. And I think it's an important conversation to also reemphasize to them that they have a role to play in this as well. It's a state, it's a local, state, and federal involvement kind of collaboratively.
It is. And just like this is sort of a micro case of the macro case that caused the feds to take over most authority over railroads, that you can have one state acting locally and shutting things down and preventing a whole different state from being able to get things transported to a third state on the other side. And so same here. Well, yes, it might be pretty local and they take local input, but that locality might wish the railroad didn't exist anymore. But a different locality 50 miles east and a different locality on the coast on the other side of them may wish to have the railroad continuing. And so sometimes the local concern can't be the end-all either. It needs to be the overall good, or we'll cease to have a lot of these rural rail lines.
Yep. Point. Commissioner Kalk, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I think you should do whatever you can.
Okay.
I mean, it's one thing that, you know, the three of us work really well together, I think, but at the end of the day, you've got the portfolio. I think you should do what you want to do with it, and if there's something that needs to be changed, it'll require the three of us voting on it anyway.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right, that concludes that topic as well. I will probably send out around a draft news release before too long, kind of announcing this effort and get your sign off on that, as an FYI, so you know how it's being characterized.
Okay. Good collaboration.
Right. If I could, I think that my viewpoint, if you collaborated as the portfolio holder is going to do these things, I think that's the message to send out there, not that all three of us are. So it kind of focuses us that if you go somewhere we didn't want to go, then we're.
Well, I hear you on that, and I'd like to do it that way. The only challenge it gets to be difficult to say that I am joining forces with DOT on a rail safety plan versus the Public Service Commission. You know, because DOT is doing you kind of missed this part of it. They're doing a rail, statewide rail plan. It'll be like a 20-year plan. And the rail safety component, they're including a rail safety component through a conversation with myself and Grant, and would like to say that the Public Service Commission is collaborating with them on the rail safety component. And so it gets more difficult to say they're collaborating with me.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking back to parallels of, I agree with that, but the pipeline safety stuff I pushed, Call Before You Dig, was always kind of me working as a public service commissioner. I think that's good, but it never bind the commission's hands to any certain thing. So however you want to nuance it.
Well, why don't we just, I think if we collaborate with them on the rail safety plan, you get a review of the plan. If there's something in it you don't like, then you get to change it. And then we can, you know, you can change it at that point. And obviously before any plan is finalized, you get to see it, and we can alter it then.
Yep. I don't need a quote.
Does that work?
Press release. That's
okay.
Getting to.
Very good.
Put out whatever you want.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Anything else for the good of the order?
Can Alana? We talk about it, even if it's just
yes, it's question. It's number one on the regular agenda. It's just
Okay.
Number first of all, we did review. We have to break to regular.
Are we done with, before
well,
we
it's
do that?
Sort
are
of
we done with admin? Does okay.
We can't add to admin, right?
Right.
Okay.